Yes, it is true, I am still alive. And for this, I am grateful. I had four viruses in a row, different ones. I wonder if there's a connection between today's sermon title and those viruses. I appreciate your prayers. I particularly appreciate Harry on short notice standing here intervening and preaching very well. So a special thank you to Harry. And in reference to Harry's letter that has gone to the congregation this past week, with a sense of hope and expectation for him, along with sadness for the changes that are ahead of us, I want to say, Harry, we're glad you're here, and we're sad that we're going to lose you, but we're glad that you're looking forward to a good future with Charlotte. Let's take a moment to pray together. Gracious God, in the power of your Spirit through Jesus the Christ, speak to us, calm our souls. Give us the spirit of courage and of power, and drive out from us evil that would keep us from the best that you have for us in life. Through Jesus Christ, we now listen to your word. Amen. Ted Engstrom, the president of World Vision in the past, now president emeritus, would often tell the story when he was talking with leaders. People would ask him how he dealt with the difficult people in his life, and he said he had a regular disciplined practice of writing their names on golf balls, teeing them up, and saying with a certain amount of explanation as he hit the ball, "Go out in the name of Jesus." This morning when I was driving up, I noticed in the sequence on the first note sign, the sermon casting out demons, and noticed then in the second sign where my name normally is, had been removed from the main sign. And I wondered if there was a connection there. It is important that we know there were two significant problems in speaking of evil, addressing evil. According to C.S. Lewis, it is denying the reality of evil as if it's not present, or secondly, becoming so focused and obsessed with it that we forget there is an overpowering presence of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. I hope we do neither one of those today. It is important that we see in our culture there continues to be, as always has been, a fascination with the gothic, with darkness, and with evil. Demons, vampires, werewolves, mummies, zombies, hell, evil, ghosts, mediums, witches, demon possession. It seems to even be a stronger message today. Why are we so fascinated with darkness and evil? The gospel reading that we read today in Mark points out clearly that evil starts in the church on Sunday morning. Jesus visited the Sabbath and went to the synagogue and preached, and there encountered the first demon-possessed person. Look around and wonder where the demons are in this congregation. It is no accident that it is a part of our life that demons will haunt us. But demons do not overpower the church. In the name of Jesus, demons shall not reign. However, they are present. One of my experiences of dealing with the demonic was working with a man who was both a member of a church and on a church staff. A wonderful, gentle, kind man. A man with a heart of service and would easily break down and cry in grief and sadness for other people's pain. However, when under duress, dealing with issues of strain, particularly around church finances, this man's countenance changed. It was as though he had a double personality. He went almost instantaneously from kind and gentle to hostile, defensive, and intimidating, to the point that the other leaders of the church had to confront him and say, "This kind of personality and attitude and style of leadership must not be what guides our church." They, in a sense, had to do an exorcism. They had to say no to a pattern of a demonic, evil presence that takes over this person when darkness prevails. The confrontation of the group to the individual was a way of saying no in the name of Jesus to evil patterns of behavior. In Mark's gospel, it is clear, not just once, but several times, that Jesus is confronted by demons. Jesus is tempted by the devil. Jesus gives his followers the power to cast out demons. The equivalent of that to for us today is we, as disciples, have the power to say no to evil. Jesus wants to make very clear that part of the good news of Jesus Christ is saying no to the bad news of anything that counters the good that God has to offer in this world. On one particular occasion, the disciples encountered a boy who had a demon, and they could not cast the demon out. And Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration and basically said, "How long do I have to work with you perverse people? I think I've taught you how to do this." And they said, "Lord, we couldn't do it." And Jesus did cast the demon out and said, "In some cases, the demons are so deeply embedded, they only come out with sustained prayer and fasting, personal sacrifice." Demons are nothing to toy with. Now, there are some who think that demons only exist as one kind of entity. But I'm here to suggest today that the demonic comes in many different forms and many different ways. That overall, the gospel statement is clear that Jesus has authority over all forms of evil. Evil cannot stand in the presence of Jesus. Jesus must confront evil and say, "Out. We will not allow you to be present to dominate or control or possess the people that are present." A small group of people came to me in a church several years ago and asked me to help them. They told the story that I had quite often heard of how a small group had a particular person in its midst who dominated and controlled it. This particular woman, who was the dominating presence, happened to be trained as a litigating lawyer. She was known as the pit bull of legal processes in that community. I don't think we have very many people like that here. When she spoke, no one else would dare to speak, because if they dared to take her on, she would cut them up and spit them out. She made sure that her words and her style was totally intimidating. The group would not confront her, and so they came to me and said, "Pastor, we have a favor to ask. Will you please take this woman aside and tell her to behave?" Now, there's a temptation immediately in that. I said, "No, I won't." Well, Pastor, that's why we pay you, to deal with the hard cases in our culture. I said, no, actually, you pay me to help you deal with the hard cases. I will coach you and pray with you so that you can confront this woman's pattern of life. Oh, no, we couldn't do that. She'll destroy us. I said, well, when you're ready to do it, come back and talk to me. They were not very happy with me. About 3 months later, they came back and spoke with me again. They said, Pastor, this woman is destroying our group. If we don't do something, we will not be able to meet again. I said, are you ready to confront her? And they said, okay, but we don't like it. We talked and prayed about how to say no to this woman's pattern of life. And the essence of the confrontation went like this. We love you, and we want you to be a part of the group, but we will not allow you to control our conversation and life together. You must be a sharing participant. And so at the next meeting, the group confronted her. And in anticipation, she became very angry, enraged, chewed them out, cussed them down, slammed the door as she walked out of the room and said, I'm never coming back to this group or this church again. How dare you? Demons don't go out easily. They convulse. They came back to me and said, Pastor, you see what you did to us? You made us confront her, and now she hates us, and we're never going to see her again. And I was quietly thinking to myself, God works in mysterious ways. About 6 months later, the woman came back to the group. She said, I've done a lot of thinking. I started wondering why it is that it seems like every small group I've ever been in fell apart. And then it dawned on me that I was the hurtful, destructive presence. And you were the first people that had the courage to tell me that. Will you accept me back? There was a demon cast out that day, if not several. Was the demon the woman? No. Is the demon that which takes over the woman and possesses her under certain circumstances? Yes. If there is one thing I've seen regularly in American culture and in the church, we are afraid to cast out demons. We are afraid to name them and to say no to them. It starts in the church. How can we say no in the culture if we can't say no in the church? And you say, well, what are demons? This particular word for evil spirit in the gospel text is a word that literally means against the best, anti-good, impure, unclean, anti-service, against healing, against cure, against relief. The person who is against being at home or domesticated, the person who is given to a wild spirit, who is jettisoned safety and security to do attack and intimidation. It is the same word that implies fear, timidity, guilt, shame, dourness, bitterness, and cowardness. In other words, demons cut us off from the best of life and move us toward the worst. This is the essence of the demonic. It possesses a person or a group, and it drives out the good. And it preserves and holds on to the worst that human beings can experience. The essence of the spirit of evil is that it is a spirit. It is something that is taken in by a human being or by a group, and it is absorbed and breathed in. The question of what have you been smoking is a perfectly right question. What have you been drinking? What air have you been breathing today? What spirit have you been absorbing that will drive you to do darkness rather than good? It is the taking in, the receiving, the soaking up, the absorption of that which is not good to the human soul. Now, this doesn't mean that the person had a choice in it. There are many cases of people who are full of the demonic who had no choice in the process. People who were abused at young ages or even earlier than birth times, preuterine, who have had violent experiences and they literally come out in birth hurt and maimed for life. The demonic has become a pattern for them early. It is that which haunts, consumes, possesses, enslaves, imprisons, confuses, contorts, alienates, and isolates the person because they have been through something terrible or they have taken in something tragic. It's addiction and abuse embodied in the person. Now, does that mean I don't believe in literal demons that are beings that do evil? Well, I'm not here to argue that case today. That's a long conversation. But I'm here to say that what human beings take in, for better or for worse, impacts their spirit and their spirits. And if we have people who are being abused, who are addicted, who have taken in the wrong things, chances are their spirits are going to start manifesting the wrong pattern of life. One of my most favorite but tragic scenes in all of the movies is The Godfather Part 1. At the very end of the movie, when Robert De Niro has become the new Don of the family, and he has decided to take revenge on all of his enemies, and the haunting image is that De Niro is at the point where he is standing as godfather for his baptized godchild. And while he is saying that he has rejected the devil and evil practices, he is systematically killing all of his enemies. And you get the definitive sense that the spirit of darkness has taken over his soul. That is his choice in that particular case. Saul in the Old Testament, king, the first king of Israel, was handpicked because God saw in him the potential of leadership. He stood a head and shoulders taller than all of the rest of the Israelites and was one of the most handsome men of his day. He was built in charisma for leadership. But it wasn't too long after he's called to be king that Samuel the prophet says of Saul, he has such a little view of himself in his own eyes. He has such low self-esteem. Somewhere along the line, he inherited or absorbed the spirit of low self-esteem. And what does he do? He starts doing things to build himself up, building monuments to himself, refusing to listen to God and only listening to his own inner voices. And it's not too long after that that it says that Saul has an evil spirit, and that haunts him the rest of his life. Where does Saul get that evil spirit? He got it because he gave over to a pattern of life that doesn't involve the voice of God, but involves the voice of other negative feelings and thoughts. Some friends of ours adopted a child from a foreign nation. In fact, I've adopted a couple of them. Early on in this child's life, there was a sense of brightness and hope and wonderment as any baby and toddler is born to demonstrate in positive times. But when the child became an adolescent and teenager, darkness began to cover his countenance. And they said, "What is this?" The darkness was so pervasive that the child tried to commit suicide. Tried to do damage to other people, became a sociopath, and was unable to be controlled. And almost every psychologist and spiritual director they took the child to said, this child was abused before he was born and terrorized in the earliest years of his birth and young life. Full of a dark spirit. And to this day, they have not been able to find a way to prayerfully exorcise that demonic presence in his life. he is still locked up in jail, and that's the only place where people trust him to be. Some demons come out with great difficulty. Some demons don't seem to have a cure. But Jesus is the most powerful presence who can say no, even to the impossible demons. It is important that we see in this text that the good news of the gospel is always juxtaposed to the really bad news of evil. There is no good news unless we confront the evil that is present among us, in us, and between us. People are amazed and astonished that Jesus has the power to say no to this kind of evil because they're used to living with it. This demon-possessed man has been in the church and in the synagogue on Sunday mornings week after week, month after month, year after year, and no one has done anything about it. They've learned to tolerate the presence. But when Jesus shows up, the demons can't handle it. Jesus, if you come here to destroy us, and Jesus cast the demon out. Only the power of Jesus can cast out evil. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was growingly concerned about Nazi Germany, he published in a 1933 paper a way to exorcise the demon of Nazism and false German Christianity. And it went something like this. Confront, question the state justice patterns. Call the state into accountability. 2, help the victims of injustice, whether they are Christians or not, particularly Jews, so that they receive the grace of Jesus Christ from Christians. And 3, if need be, throw yourself on the wheels of the machinery to be crushed in the name of Jesus to say no to evil. In other words, sacrifice your life if it costs to be able to exorcise the worst demon. And so Dietrich Bonhoeffer made the decision, even though he was a pacifist, that he would actively seek the death of Adolf Hitler and the end of Nazism, because he believed it was the equivalent of exorcising a demon. This is serious business. If you are troubled with an evil spirit yourself, then don't tolerate it. Get some help. If you are following Jesus, you have a responsibility, like these disciples learned, to learn to exorcise demons and say no to them. Do not abdicate your responsibility. But they come out with great training, prayer, perseverance, fasting, and patience. It is not easy to learn the disciplines of exorcism. I know the sermon's a little spooky and scary, but then this story at the beginning of the gospel is plenty spooky and scary. However, here is the final word. Evil will not stand. Evil will not reign. People who are possessed with evil spirits can have them exorcised in the name of Jesus. Jesus' power is greater than all evil. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he spoke to his disciple Timothy. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you, Timothy, through the laying on of hands. You received a spirit of strength. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Exercise that spirit. Say no to evil and say yes to Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, today we say no to evil and yes to you. Help us to breathe in the power of your spirit and breathe out, to exhale the evil spirits that can possess us. Give us the courage to become exorcists of any spirit that might hurt your people or your world. We pray so in the powerful name of Jesus the Christ, who lives in love and grace. Amen.